Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
In Los Angeles, it depends. Are you purple and gold? If it is, it's a good morning. If you're a Clipper fan, it might not be. One of the great collapses in NBA history. Doc Rivers has blown more 3-1 series leads than any coach in the history of the NBA. And I only say that because he's got such a great reputation. He is a championship winning coach. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, ESPN Radio, the app, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Everybody's on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you love college football, Reese Davis, the host of College Game Day, is less than 10 minutes away. And in just over an hour, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly will be here with the Irish eligible for the ACC championship. We'll talk all about that. But Key, right off the top, we got to talk about an epic choke job for the Clippers with the Lakers awaiting in the eyes of the basketball world upon them. Ain't going to happen.
You know, last night, and we had that rejoin right there coming in, and you could hear my voice and stuff. I might have been 5 frozen margaritas in and 2 shots. I would think of right around when I start taping that. You know, and put it on the social media deal. And every minute that went by, I found myself sipping again. It was just one of those deals where, you know, I just felt like, and I don't want to say, well, I guess it is a choke job, right? It is.
Yeah.
When you go from one, you're up 3-1, and then all of a sudden it's even at 3-3. That pressure now, ooh, that thing gets really, really tight. And you could sense it along the way that the Clippers felt coming into this game that – their backs were against the wall, and they had to figure out how to come out swinging, and they didn't. If you look at the fourth quarter of that game, you could see it was just slipping away. And I laughing, right, because those shots on that bench, you know, you don't ever want to poke fun at somebody's sadness, but that those shots, oh, I love the looks on those faces. Oh, I love it.
On ESPN News right now.
It was priceless. It was priceless because so much conversation out of L.A. is – the Clippers have arrived. They've got Paul George. They've got Kawhi Leonard. They've got Patrick Beverley, who's the nasty gnat that gets in the face defensively and causes all sorts of havoc. And then to watch them just disintegrate right before your own eyes, oh, it's just a thing of beauty.
And so it will be the Nuggets against Keys Lakers. Game one is Friday. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin reminding you to check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. The Nuggets are essentially ready for anything, too. They've won 6 elimination games this postseason. Their last 4 playoff series, even if you stretch back to last year, have all been Game 7s. They've done an amazing job. Their head coach, Michael Malone, had coronavirus. Their best player, Jokic, had coronavirus. They've overcome a ton to get here. But I want to bring this up to you real quick and get your thoughts because it's all really about the Clippers and where they go in their immediate future. July 5, 2019, so last summer, as we're in the final stretches of summer this year. I know in some places it doesn't feel like summer, but July 5, 2019, NBA Summer League, Las Vegas. It's all good. We're playing. Everybody's having fun. And then an earthquake hits. And do you remember that last summer earthquake? It shut down all the games there at the Summer League. And that was all the talk. And then about 4 or 5 hours later, and I can say this tongue planted firmly in cheek because there were no serious injuries out in Las Vegas at the Summer League, the NBA had a huge earthquake of itself because about 5 hours after the earthquake, it was Kawhi and Paul George, Woj dropped it, that they were both going to the Clippers. So here we are. They still don't have enough to get over the top with those two, a great coach in Doc Rivers, the sixth man of the year in Montrezl Harrell, a former sixth man of the year in Lou Williams. Yep. What else do they need?
You think it's enough, right? I mean, every time we get to these situations in basketball or in any sport for that matter where a team looks like they're going to win it all and then they get derailed, the first thing we start doing is trying to figure out what else is it that they need? What else is it that they need? I don't think that they need anything. I think they need to change their approach. Mm. I think they need to realize in the regular season, yeah, Kawhi Leonard gets rest and you still win games. But if you want some sort of continuity, because you pointed to that in the postseason, I mean, your post-presser saying that you guys didn't feel like you were in sync and hadn't played a whole lot of basketball together. Well, you need to change that approach. If that is truly what you believe, you need to change that approach because it certainly worked when Kawhi was in Toronto. He won with Nick Nurse as a coach. I mean, that. So how does it not work for you in L.A.? I think you got to look at the X's and O's because certainly the Willie and the Joes are there. They have the players to compete for a championship. There's no question about it. So if that's the case, why aren't we really focusing in on Doc Rivers in this situation? Like you mentioned earlier, this is his third time up 3-1 in a playoff series that he loses.
Wow.
And when you think about Doc Rivers, because of all the respect that we have for him,
sure,
everything that he stands for, we love about Doc Rivers. If this was any other coach with this type of talent
right.
in this situation, we would be, you know, doing some dirty work to him, right? All he needs to do, though, is take some time off,
mm-hmm.
reshift his focus,
yep.
figure out what it was that he did wrong as a coach, and get the players to fully buy in so they could try and make a run to dethrone the Lakers of the 2020 championship that they're going to win in 2021.
Okay,
Keith. See how I put that all together?
Already calling it. The biggest beneficiary of the Clippers' collapse, our Brian Windhorst says, it's obvious.
LeBron has been given a glorious opportunity. The Bucks are gone. The Clippers are gone. Those are the two teams that we thought for months were the teams that were going to give them problems. All right? He is holding in his hand a chance at that fourth title, a chance at that winning that title with that third team, putting another banner up at Staples, legendary status as a Laker going forward. He's got to take it. He could play another 3 years of the Lakers and not get this opportunity again, whether it's the Clippers or Heat or whoever, wherever Giannis goes or whatever happens. So his eyes are wide open on this one. He knows. So he's got to take it.
It's took. That's not even Brian's great with that, but that's already took. He was going to do that even if he had to go up against the Clippers. He knew that coming to L.A., there was going to be crazy amounts of pressure for him to deliver a world championship. It's just what it is. You're the greatest player in the world. You got the purple and the gold on. The fans and the people of L.A. are starving for another championship. Haven't had one since Kobe Bryant. And on top of that, everything that we've gone through in 2020, you being a part of the team when everything happened to Kobe and you coming out and saying you're going to put all this on your back, we expect for him to deliver a championship. There's no question about it, and I believe he's going to do it along with AD and the rest of the cast of characters.
So this could be his 10th appearance in the finals if he can get past the Nuggets. Charles Barkley was joining our program a couple weeks ago, and he essentially said when we asked him after the Nuggets were gassed, outlasted Utah in that Game 7, what percent chance do you give the Nuggets to beat the Clippers? And he flat said zero. So we're not going back to Chuck because he was wrong. So I'm going to ask you, percent chance that the Nuggets can beat the Lakers?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, I'm going to double down for Chuck. Zero. Now, can they spook them? Yeah, they can spook them. The Lakers have lost the first game in both series that they played this year. I mean, in this playoffs.
Right.
And then rolled. They could certainly spook them. But then when you look at the situation with the Lakers, you talk about in head-to-head matchups this season alone, the Lakers are up 3-1. I just don't think that they have enough, especially from an offensive standpoint with the Lakers' defense and all of the big bodies that we can run at the Joker. I mean, we can run AD at him, Dwight Howard, JaVale at him. I mean, you know, he certainly, in my opinion, is not quick enough in as far as his feet movement is concerned to get past them if he brings them out from underneath the basket to blow past them. And then they're long enough to defend the long shot. So I just look at what Frank Vogel's done from a defensive standpoint in the bubble, a tremendous job. The defense has completely made a 180-degree change from the regular season to what they're doing in the bubble now. And then the LeBron James factor is much like what we're seeing in Miami with Jimmy Butler, believe it or not, but different. Jimmy Butler has that grit to him, like that, just that real nasty type of attitude, where LeBron's attitude is just follow me. Mm-hmm. I've done this before. Watch and come along. And I think that that's what you're going to see when the Lakers take on the Nuggets.
Game one will be Friday, and Joker, not joking around, he had the old 16-22-13 triple-double last night. Let that settle in for a second. 16 points, 22 boards, 13 assists. Murray went for 40, and the last time the Nuggets made the Western Conference Finals in 09, they lost to
the Lakers, man. Stop.
The Lakers.
Yeah.
And this is the Lakers' first conference finals appearance in
about
a decade.
We'll take it. Right? We'll take it. The bad part about it is we have to do it in the bubble, but everybody's got to do it in the bubble. That's why when the Clippers start kind of talking about the preparation and all this stuff, I'm like, everybody got the same damn preparation. Stop giving excuses. You didn't play well, and you lost. And when you think about Kawhi Leonard's going to get some heat from a lot of these little sports talk show type bobbleheads that'll be running around talking about, is Kawhi Leonard really as great as he is? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But you're going to hear people try to put that narrative out there because the team basically tanked.
Yeah.
So you're going to see, we're the show in the morning that starts it all. And then everybody follows us around the country. And the next thing you're going to start hearing is Kawhi Leonard. Oh, God, he's leaving. Or Kawhi Leonard's not as good as you think. See, he couldn't do it, which is not fair.
He and PG, unrestricted free agents after next season, whenever next season happens. We're 1 minute away from getting Reese Davis, the host of College Game Day's opinion on some eyebrow-raising comments from the reigning national championship head coach. But first, let's go from A to Z. And A to Z is brought to you by Redbox. Now at Redbox, stream the theatrical home release of Bill and Ted Face the Music, starring Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. Yes, they were also in The Excellent Adventure back in 89, if you're old enough. Get premium access. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. This is important for Key. His nephew, Michael Thomas, week to week after suffering a high ankle injury. Final minutes of the Saints win over Tom in Tampa on Sunday. We're going week to week, so I should mention next week, Monday night, the Saints will be in Las Vegas. Got to get used to saying that. Against the Raiders on ESPN's Monday Night Football. And then they'll be under the lights again when they'll host Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Both of those teams are out to 1-0 start, so they will have the attention to themselves of the football world, but they may not have Michael Thomas with them. Thomas out to the best start statistically of any wide receiver, in NFL history. The 49ers search for reinforcements to their banged-up receiving corps. We stay on the pass-catching tip. Resulted in a bit of a reunion for Kyle Shanahan. One-year deal with the veteran wideout Mohamed Sanu on Tuesday, a move that Shanahan hinted at during his press conference a couple days ago. You might remember they were together in Atlanta, Key.
This is what I'm talking about when I talk about wide receivers and the value of a guy like Allen Robinson. They should go try to make a move for him if Chicago doesn't want to pay him to get him that $20+ million that he's worth.
Yeah, Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, and then Sanu was a pass catcher back in Atlanta 4 years ago. The World Series will officially be played entirely in a bubble at the Texas Rangers' new ballpark. Welcome to 2020. There's just nothing that surprises you when you wake up in the morning.
No, I wanted to ask Buster if there's any conversation about fans potentially in the postseason when they get that deep into it.
They are hoping that fans can attend. It's a good question, and that has been answered. They are hoping. Major League Baseball is bullish that fans can attend. The Division Series, the LCS, and the World Series, all part of a bubble designed to minimize exposure, obviously, to the coronavirus. This will be the first World Series one-site situation since 1944, obviously.
I wasn't born.
No, these are unprecedented times. We were trying to find the crystal-clear standard definition for that this morning on ESPN News. Not able to come up with it. From A to Z, brought to you by Dell. Save up to 45% during Dell semi-annual sale on business laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/business-deals. It's a pleasure to have the host of ESPN's College Game Day, Reese Davis, join us this morning. More college football with Brian Kelly, Notre Dame's head coach, coming up at 9:10 a.m. Eastern. Reese, I want to play you this comment from LSU head coach Ed Orgeron on what's going on with his team and the coronavirus, and then get your thoughts.
I think that we've got a good handle of it, but once a kid gets it, the next man got to go up. And, you know, Mickey comes tell me, Jack comes tell me, this person tested positive, this person's going to be quarantined. They give me the number of days, and we got to make adjustments. Look, 2 weeks ago, we had everybody on our offensive line except two or three guys were out. We couldn't go any team. We adjusted very well, and we've got to make adjustments. But I think most of not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So I think that hopefully they don't catch it again, and hopefully they're out for games, you know.
Reese, you sort of said that casually on the end. Most of our guys have caught it. What do you make of this?
I'm not surprised, Zubin, but I think people have sort of misunderstood it. If you remember when they first came back to campus, they had an outbreak that seemed to be tied to a lot of guys, like a lot of college students have. They got back together for the first time, and they went out and did some social things, and a lot of guys got it. Now, from my understanding at LSU, and we're thankful for this for sure, nobody has gotten seriously ill. It doesn't diminish the impact and all of that. But it's probably just referring to the fact, or the way I took it when I heard him say that, they had a huge number of guys who got it early. They got that under control, and then I guess apparently it sounds as if they, you know, they had an issue in the offensive line during camp, which, you know, a lot of schools have. And my understanding from most of the coaches I've talked to is that the contact tracing and preventative measures have kept people out of practice rather than people being seriously ill. So I didn't take it as, you know, I saw some reaction that some were saying that he, you know, was encouraging them to get it. I didn't take it like that at all. I think he was just stating the fact. They had a big number of guys get it when they first got back. They've had some more guys get it now, and it's a pretty good percentage of the team that's had it. And he's hopeful that no one else gets it from this point forward. At least that's the way I took it.
Reese, on Sunday, we thought we were going to hear about the Big Ten. Last night, we thought we were going to hear about the Big Ten and their decision on whether to play or not. What's the holdup now?
You know, I was just doing some reading on that this morning, Key, and I talked to people over the last couple of days that were more on the football side than the administrative side, obviously. They were hopeful it was about to happen. From what I've read, I guess they're still, you know, trying to determine what they're comfortable with, meaning the president, as it pertains to testing, and, you know, how comfortable they are with the frequency of the testing. Is it going to be something like the Pac-12 is getting ready to do and testing daily, or is it going to be, you know, less frequent, but with access to some of the quicker tests at the end of the week, like some of the other conferences are doing? So that's the only thing I can imagine that's the holdup, or if it's not something like that, logistical, it would then have to be political, wouldn't it? And that this has been so unlike the Big Ten to present such a front that is not unified, such a fractured front on the decision to play or not to play, that maybe they're still having to try to get everybody to present a unified front once they make a decision to go forward. Maybe they're still convincing some people to go one way or the other.
This has been a big damn headache all the way around in the Big Ten. What do you think happens with Kevin Warren when all dust is settled?
Well, I'm hopeful that he can move past it and go on, because look, we don't live in a time of nuance, Keith. People want things to be one way or the other on the extreme scale, right? Kevin came in and a very difficult situation under the best of circumstances. He's following a guy who's one of the giant figures in college sports history in Jim Delaney, a guy who did wonderful things for the Big Ten, was universally respected, and, you know, had deep relationships that have been formed over 30-some-odd years. It's difficult to follow someone who leaves giant footprints to begin with. Kevin Warren is eminently qualified. And everybody, you know, Jim included, you know, very excited and confident in him when Kevin comes in. And now you're handed a pandemic. I mean, it's an impossible situation to begin with. So I think that, you know, people ought to slow down and give him a little break based on that. That said, I don't think that I think he can learn from the fact that he was not able to present that unified face that I was talking about before. You know, I think back to the stories from when the Big East was formed in basketball, and, you know, Dave Gavitt was running the show, and you had those giant personalities in the conference. You had John Thompson, you had Louis Carnesacca, you had Rowley, you had Boeheim, and, you know, he would have them, you know, fellas, fight it out. Whatever you got to say in here, yell, scream, you know, grab each other around the neck, you know, figuratively speaking, of course. But when we walk out of this room, we're presenting a unified front, and we're going in this decision. So I think that Kevin could learn from that. I think that probably his ability to get people to go in the direction that he thinks is best will probably improve over time. It's hard to go in and, you know, a few months into your tenure, all of a sudden they shut down all your sports and everybody's fighting over what the proper direction is. So I think some time and his ability to build those relationships will help him in the long run. But I think, you know, it's certainly been a rocky 10 years. I think he could have done much better. There's no question about that in terms of messaging and in terms of getting everybody on the same page and explaining thoroughly the reasons for the conference's decision. I also think, in my judgment, they acted hastily both times. They announced the schedule, and a few days later, they're not playing. I think they could have benefited from more patience in making final decisions.
Well said, and this is something the ACC is going to have to watch as well, because with their commissioner, John Swofford, retiring, another giant in the college sports game, we'll see what they do. Obviously, Kevin Warren has followed Jim Delaney, and it's just a continuing domino of the next generation of leaders, and they've got some real, real challenges to address, as we all know. Reese, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
All right, guys. You
Thanks a lot, Reese.
It's the great Reese Davis, ESPN's College Game Day. We'll continue to talk about Coach O's comments. Reese took them a little bit differently than most other people have, and I think he made really good sense. The nuance was lost. O was just stating a fact, but the fact is that people are freaking out over it. We'll get Key's comments on that, because Key has been the biggest proponent of not playing at all, no matter what conference you're in.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So the Chiefs, by the way, in Game 2, they're going to step into divisional play. They'll take on the Los Angeles Chargers. And the takeaway image for a lot of people Week 1 of the season, there were some great things and obviously some serious social justice messages. But from just a tongue-in-cheek perspective, it was watching Thursday night with Andy Reid's face shield fogging up with the glasses. He said after the game it was brutal and we got to figure out what to do. So according to the Kansas City Star, somebody heard Andy say that. The New Hampshire-based company that makes those face shields, SleepNet Corporation, reached out and essentially said, we are going to fix that situation for you. We're going to get you a new mask. No word if it'll be there in time when they take on the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. But just kind of a little fun tongue-in-cheek. Sean McVay got slapped on the wrist yesterday, essentially for not really wearing it. He had down around the chin, and the league basically said, fellas, all 32, up by the nose like everybody
else. It was a ton of coaches. It wasn't just Sean. It was a ton of coaches, assistants, everything on the sidelines. When you're watching the games, their mask was down. And I guess it's breathing or whatever, and they want to be able to communicate through the headsets.
Right.
And it's probably uncomfortable. And they figure, we're on the sideline. We're good. We've all been tested. Everything works out. And, Andy, I don't know if it was the humidity, the rain, whatever the case is, because you would think underneath it's open, so
right,
the airflow would allow the mask to stay clear. And so Big Red, which I call Andy Reid, Big Red, he couldn't see. I mean, but, you know, it wound up working out for him anyway, right?
Big fog.
it wound up working out for him. They won the game. So that's all that really matters.
We'll see what happens. So Andy Reid, help is indeed on the way. We were talking with Reese Davis of College Game Day earlier this morning on the big story overnight that Ed Orgeron essentially casually said in one of his press conferences that essentially the entire LSU team had contracted COVID. And as Reese properly said, sometimes you live in a headline society where you see that and say, wait, how could that happen? They have 85 guys are the defending national champions. What's going on down there? Whereas Reese essentially said, I think Ed was talking over the course of time. Guys were back slowly. Everybody sort of contracted it by going to parties and doing things young kids do. I'm going to let you make your determination. I'm with Reese on this. I think he is as well. But this is Coach Orgeron on the money comment yesterday that got everybody in a tizzy about the team being stricken with coronavirus.
I think that we've got a good handle of it, but once a kid gets it, the next man got to go up. And, you know, Mickey comes tell me, Jack comes tell me, this person tested positive, this person's going to be quarantined. They give me the number of days, and we've got to make adjustments. Look, 2 weeks ago, we had everybody on our offensive line except two or three guys were out. We couldn't go any team. We adjusted very well, and we've got to make adjustments. But I think most of not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So I think that hopefully they don't catch it again, and hopefully they're out for games, you know.
What do you think?
I understand what he's saying. I mean, you know, a lot of guys have contracted it, and he couldn't practice with some guys. And when you say, you know, a lot of our guys, he's not saying the entire team. He's just saying a bulk of the team
right.
over time has certainly, in that hot state, has certainly come across it. That's
not
all
a surprise,
he's saying.
Right?
No, not a surprise at all. But you know me, I'm like, don't play. But it seems like everybody's getting ready to start playing here soon.
On that tip, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. For the college football fan, hang tight. 9:10 a.m. Eastern, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame's head coach, will be here. There has been all sorts of speculation over the weekend that at some point the Big Ten is going to take a vote, revote, to try to re-implement the season. Everybody's kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. If indeed it happens, they are targeting a date, which makes sense, of somewhere between October 17th or the 24th, those two Saturdays. That would allow them to play 8 games over 8 weeks or 8 games over 9 weeks, which would allow them to get into the college football playoff. A vote could be imminent, could be coming at any time, but you're saying this is all a fool's errand.
No, I mean, look, man, they got to get it right from a medical standpoint. I know the SEC is moving forward, the ACC's moved forward, the Big 12 conference has moved forward, even though their first week wasn't so great. I look at what the Big Ten is trying to do and whether or not this pressure from outside influence is pushing this to happen opposed to smart minds. Now, whether or not they're going to move forward with it or this vote, whenever it comes down, says no, then we'll know at that point in time. But I'm just, you know, I want safety and health, man. That's just really where I'm coming from. I'm all about the safety and the health and the well-being of the young men and women that have to deal with this on their college campuses on a daily basis. Now, there's a lot of kids in the Big Ten Conference as well as other conferences throughout the country that have opted out, that are star players, that have NFL draft status moving forward, that says, you know what, I need to get ready for the NFL to secure my future. I don't want to play.
No doubt. Penny Sewell from Oregon could be a top 5 pick. Micah Parsons of Penn State, obviously, we're talking Big Ten. Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech. These are all names you may not know right now, but trust me, when Mel and Todd go deep, you'll know them. Here's a timetable key that you just mentioned. Our Heather Dinich, college football playoff reporter, was just on Get Up with Mike Greenberg and company over on ESPN television, and she reported that the Big Ten has until the end of the week to decide. So Kevin Warren and company and the school presidents and chancellors have a little bit of wiggle room, but we should know, we've heard this before, that by the end of the week, there will be some level of clarity.
Let me know when it happens. Just let me know when it happens. That's all.
There's been a lot of people, very reputable people, that have been wrong on this story, left and right. But obviously, the stakes are gigantic. And indeed, if they can get it done, an October start is pivotal because that would put them back into the college football playoff with probably an 8-game season. Still on the way, we're going to go fill in the blank. We'll get Key's thoughts. Aaron Rodgers will finish his career with fill in the blank. And Mike D'Antoni's going to coach fill in the blank last season. And fill in the blank, who are the two teams that are going to the NBA Finals? Key's thoughts on all those subjects are on the way.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Fill in the blank on some of the biggest sports questions that you have. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app. Use code KJZ to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We're also presented by Progressive Insurance. Brian Kelly is on the way, 9:10 a.m. Eastern. Caron Butler played for the Lakers and the Clippers. Two teams moving in different directions. He'll join us at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So while we're on the Lakers tip key, let's fill in the blank. We'll just give you a scenario, and you tell us what's going to happen. This one had to be written because Key's already assuming the Lakers are going to win the Western Conference Finals. So the Lakers will beat the Nuggets in fill-in-the-blank games to advance to the finals.
Five. I think they beat them in five. I think the Nuggets get one. Lakers win the first game. Nuggets probably win the second, and then we roll from there. Something like that. Yeah, because the legs of the Nuggets are tired right now. The Lakers are rested. So they'll come out hot and heavy. They'll regroup. Probably will squander a lead like the Clippers were, you know, in the second game. And then from there, we'll get our act together and we'll just steamroll them.
To your point, game one disappointments for the Lakers, losing to Portland, losing to Houston. But we'll see. Game one, 9 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Lakers in five, according to Key. Okay, now we're going to have to set this one up here. The Chiefs' first loss will be in, and I'm going to guess you don't have the Chiefs' schedule memorized off the top of your head.
I kind of do.
Okay, go ahead. So it'll be the Chargers, right?
They'll beat the Chargers. Then I got the Ravens in Baltimore week three.
On Monday Night Football.
On Monday night, that'll be their first loss.
Okay, so we'll call it. They'll be 2-1.
Yeah, they'll be 2-1.
All right, so the Chiefs beat the Texans and then beat the Chargers, lose to the Ravens, Lamar and Patrick Mahomes on ESPN. How great is that?
Yeah, that'll be somewhat of a shootout. It'll be that game will be like that Ram Baltimore game that was on Monday night where Lamar just went nuts. It'll be that type of situation. He'll torch the defense of Kansas City. He'll squeak out a win by like four.
The game that Key references, that first loss, September 28th on Monday Night Football. If they happen to squeak by, the next week they will host the Pats. So that could be interesting. Okay. This one, I mean, you may have this memorized for a different reason. The Jets' first win. So from the Chargers' first loss to the Jets' first win, they got the 49ers at home this Sunday. Any possibility after the loss of the Bills?
No.
Then they're at Indy. Could they beat Indy?
No, they're not going to do that.
Then they're hosting Denver. Could they beat Denver?
No, not going to do that.
Then they're hosting Kyler Murray in Arizona.
No, not going
to
do that.
Then they're in L.A. to take the Chargers.
Nope, not going
to
do that.
Then they're hosting Josh Allen and the Bills.
Nope, not going to do that.
I'm going to skip over this one, but just for the record, they'll be playing at Arrowhead.
No, that's not good either.
They could be getting murdered there. Then they will host the Pats.
No, Belichick's going to continue to
We're still in an over.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This one's reasonable. This is reasonable. At Miami.
No.
Wow.
No.
Okay. So let's go 0-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0-9 right now. Okay. Do they defeat the bye?
They get the bye.
Okay.
But here's what happened during the bye. Who's the team after the bye?
They will host Miami.
Okay. So here's what happens.
Okay.
So prior, they lose to Miami.
Okay. On the road,
then they have a bye.
Correct.
They come back and play Miami.
Correct.
So what happens during the bye, after that loss in Miami, Joe Douglas goes and he sits in first class next to Adam,
right.
GM, next to Adam Gase, and he says, you know, I just got off the phone with Mr. Johnson, and we want to meet back at the facility after everybody gets off the bus. I think we're going to go in a different direction. And then Adam gets off the bus, they go in a different direction. The bye week. So the new head coach takes over after the bye. Then he comes, whoever that is, interim coach, whatever. Then they get their first victory at home after the bye with the interim coach. That's when they get their first win, week 11.
makes sense because that does seem like a team that they could
beat,
right?
That's usually what happens. They fire the coach after the bye. It's 11 weeks into the season. They're 0-10 or whatever it is. They get that first victory against Miami, the new coach. They put him on the shoulders. Everybody says, hire that guy. Give him an extension.
Just for the fun of it, let's just run through the rest of the schedule because we're already pretty much done. So we've got them at right about 1-10 when they take on the Dolphins for the second time. Then they host the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to beat them.
They're at Seattle.
Not going to happen.
At the Rams.
Not going to happen.
This one, home versus the Browns.
Depends on what the Browns season turns out. If the Browns drop one on Thursday, this Thursday night against the Bengals, their season can start to unravel a little bit. So it just depends. That could be a real barn burner.
It should burn down both. And then the Pats to end the season on the road at Foxborough.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So we're looking at maybe a 2-14 finish.
Yeah, like a 2-14. It's going to be one of the worst seasons that the Jets probably had in a very, very long time. Since I was on the team, we won 1-15, right?
Quarter century.
I mean, that was so long ago. And you could totally tell looking at the teams that they play that they don't have a shot at them.
All right, so one team they don't have to face, thankfully, is the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers will finish his career with fill in the blank. I'm guessing this means team.
Green Bay.
Okay.
The Packers, they're going to extend Aaron Rodgers. He's got large cap numbers next year and the year after. They're going to go back into the salary cap room, look at all the numbers, work them out, give him another $100+ million deal, put him in line with all the quarterbacks that are getting paid right now. They're going to find him a receiver that so he can shut everybody up about he needs a receiver. Everybody can be quiet and satisfy their taste buds. And they're going to give him a long-term extension, and he's going to finish with the Packers.
They could have perhaps given Mike D'Antoni a long-term extension in Houston. He essentially said by contract's up, I don't want to come back, even though the Rockets seemed like they wanted him back towards the end. So he's a quote-unquote coaching free agent. Mike D'Antoni will coach fill in the blank next season.
If he coaches, it'll be Indy. But I'm betting that he does not coach. I'm betting that he's sitting on the sideline. His family and everything is sitting there saying, why do you want to keep going through this? It's not worth it. You know, let's enjoy life now. And I think he steps away and says, I don't want to do this anymore.
It's very interesting because you know more than any other coach, every coach wants to win the NBA title, but he would be so validated if he could win a title with that style, right? Because people are just saying, hey, bro, it's good. It's good in the regular season. It's good in the playoffs. It's never, though, good enough.
But there's no – where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to keep running into LeBron and AD.
Right.
The Clippers are going to probably get their act together. Golden State, Brooklyn, all them teams is coming back from off injury.
Right.
They're going to be good. Like, where are you honestly going to go – where there's a coach that's out with a team that can play that style and you can win an NBA title.
No question about it. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Brian Kelly's here at 9:10 a.m. Eastern, the Notre Dame head coach. Is their foray into the ACC a chance to play in the title game, an opportunity for them to maybe one day permanently join the ACC, let go of their independence? We'll talk about it with Coach Kelly. All right, so you mentioned teams coming back and who's left. Quote, here we go. The fill in the blank will win the Western Conference Final.
The Lakers,
okay,
man.
That was a quick one. All right. Lakers in five, in case you hadn't joined us earlier. Okay, and here we go. The fill in the blank will win the Eastern Conference Finals.
You know, it took a hell of a block by Bam to win that game.
Last night.
Yeah. I would think that Boston comes back in game two and wins.
Okay.
And it's going to probably be a 6-7 game series there. And I think Boston comes out of it. So we get that classic Laker-Boston matchup in the bubble, not at Parquet or not at Staples, but in the bubble.
Parquet, if the old school fans remember the old Boston Garden. Let's go rogue and add a last one. So fill in the blank, who wins the NBA Finals?
I mean, what type of question is that?
Well, how many games will the Lakers win the NBA Finals over the Celtics in? How about that? Fill in the blank.
Six. Yeah. Drama, you know, need some drama. We need to get it going, you know. That sort of thing.
In the bubble, this would be, they've been in the finals 12 times before. It's the greatest rivalry.
I wasn't
sports.
Born on some of them, though.
No, the Bill Russell one.
Yeah, I wasn't.
You're around for Magic. You remember those?
Yeah, I remember Magic, but I wasn't around for all them Bob Cousys and all them other dudes.
They say Yankees, Red Sox, man, Lakers, Celtics fans will tell you they're right up there. On the way, Brian Kelly, is the ACC in Notre Dame's future for good? We'll ask him straight.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.